This is Liz Doutzenberg. I'm here tonight with Amanda Hummel. It's June 13, 2019, and we're here in Bee's Knees on Warren Street in Hudson, New York. This is a shop that Amanda owns, and we're here to conduct an interview for the Oral History Summer School for the Oral History Project in Hudson. Thank you for being here tonight, Amanda.
Yeah.
And I'd like to ask you if you can please introduce yourself.
Oh, golly. So my name's Amanda Hummel. I live in Columbia County. I'm a fifth generation resident of this county. And I am 42 years old. And currently I am a small business owner of the Bee's Knees, a wife, a mom, and many other jobs too, I'm sure.
Now, I was wondering if you can tell me a little bit about the place where you grew up in and how you feel about growing up there.
Sure. So I grew up in Stuyvesant, which is right along the Hudson River. It's about 20 minutes drive from north of Hudson. My family on both sides are dairy farmers. So my father's side of the family moved to Stuyvesant from Hudson when he was a young boy to own their own dairy farm. And the dairy farm was across the street from my house, and we lived right on the Hudson River. My dad worked on the farm a little bit when I was younger. It was sold when I was quite young, but he would still work there, and it was known as the Hummel Farm, and my dad was quite well known, so it will probably always be the Hummel Farm. It was a very quiet place to live. Not many neighbors, you know, cornfields and across the street and next to us. And my grandmother lived in what she called the big house when they moved there, which was the farmhouse, which is now on the National Historic Registry. It's a very old, beautiful home that always astounds me that it was a farmer's house because it's so large. And she, before I was born, moved out and took a piece of the farmland and built a home. So she was also our neighbor, and I spent quite a lot of time with her. It was my father's mother. And there weren't a lot of children around. I have one older sister who we would just play together, and there were a couple other young families around. But it was really quiet and beautiful, and I had a great childhood, you know, lots of animals and just exploring outdoors and a big imaginations. And my dad, after farming, became a carpenter, so he would build us whatever kind of things we would want to play on, and he was always working around the property. And we spent a lot of time there, and we would also spend a lot of time on the water, on the river, which was right there in our backyard, and so we did a lot of that as well.
You live in Hudson now?
Well, I live pretty close to Hudson.
Okay.
I live in a town called Claverick, which is mispronounced quite a bit, but growing up here, we've always said it with a little bit more throat, so it's Claverick. It's a Dutch word. And it's about 2 to 3 miles outside of town, outside of Hudson, but Claverick is a quite big area, but we live on the Hudson side of Claverick.
So can you tell me a little bit about what it's like to live now where you live?
So where I live now is a little less rural than where I grew up. I'm quite accustomed to not having neighbors, and so having neighbors is an adjustment for me and my husband. Before we moved to Claverick, we lived in Kinderhook, and there were no other houses for miles around. And so when we bought our house in Claverick, it was about 15 years ago now. So we've been there quite a while, and it's different to have neighbors and to just see people all the time and know what they're doing and they know what you're doing. But Claverick in general is a really lovely town, and it's a great place to be. It's close to Hudson, which we really like, because we can be here in just a few minutes or ride our bikes into town sometimes. And it's very conveniently located as far as where it is in the county. I have a daughter now who's six, and I do wish that she had a little bit more of a Stuyvesant-esque childhood, being on a farm and being kind of farther out and a little bit more rural nature. But it's a really lovely community that we live in that we're very close to a lot of the people here in Hudson. We have friends that are in Claverick and Ghent, and so we can kind of be close to everybody, being a little bit more central, whereas Stuyvesant is, it's quite hard to get places sometimes just because of the location. So I do enjoy that. Having the shop too, we are very much in Hudson a lot of the time. And so we do feel like Hudson is our home as well. But it's great. I'm very proud Columbia County girl.
Now, I was wondering if you can think of an event in your life that might have radically changed the direction or the course of your life. Is there anything you can think of? Can be small, can be
Yeah,
big.
I mean, I think that we all have a number of things that happen that are either at the time really hard, that kind of make your entire being shift. I think as far as a direction of my life, of course, I would think my occupation. So originally, I went to college to be a school teacher, and I was a teacher for many years in a public school. Growing up, my parents were always, and in particular, my mom, who was a very strong woman, always instilled that I can do anything and whatever I wanted to do, you just do it and you put your mind to it and you can succeed. But when it was time to go to college, she did say that I had to pick a state school to go to because that's what we could afford to do. So when I went to school, eventually I went to a state school, and here in New York they're called SUNY, State University of New York. And I went to New Paltz, which is not quite, maybe an hour south of here. And I studied education. And my mom's dad had always said, "Oh, well, you'll be a teacher. You're great with kids, you'll be a teacher." And I really did like teaching and being around children. So that's what I pursued. But because I went to a state school, I learned to be a state educator. So upon graduation and student teaching, I was placed in a state school, a public school, and I spent a good chunk of time teaching there. And pretty quickly realized that that's not a philosophy of education that I wholeheartedly agreed with. But I did love the act of teaching. And I think there were a number of events while I was teaching. And a successful teacher, I had nothing but great parents and great students and great colleagues, and I was in a great district. But I quickly started getting very frustrated with the system and realized that I needed to really take a look. And I took a break. I went back to school for a much more artistic career in interior design, and I liked that, but I did miss kids, so I ended up going back to the same school, which they were so excited to have me back. And I taught there for another 12 years. And I really wanted to have a family. And I couldn't. I was way too stressed out. So all of my doctors kind of advised me to change. Like I needed a big change. So I quit teaching and I opened this children's store. And that has definitely changed the direction of my life. We have a baby, or who's now six. We have a family, and being an entrepreneur and a business owner is so vastly different than being an educator, and also really similar in that a lot of parents come to me, a lot of new families come to me, and I am, very proud of my community, and so I think people feel connected to me in that way. And so I get to be around kids and tiny babies and help moms who are breastfeeding in particular and struggling and or just need to have a moment. And so that education I had in education has definitely overlapped into what I do now, but it has been a very big shift and a directional shift for me to go away from public education into being a business owner. And of course, I wouldn't do it but in my own town. And so I think that just recognizing that for myself is that I needed to listen to my physical body and my mental wellness and walk away and just try something new. And so we've been doing that.
So, that's definitely a shift you described, and I was just wondering if you can tell me a little bit more how you came to the idea to open this kind of shop.
Well, certainly, I think my love is with children and families and parents, which I think a lot of teaching is parents as well as the children who you are teaching every day. We had a really wonderful children's store here for decades called the Town Fair. It was on the 500 block of Warren Street. And the owners of the Town Fair, it's one of those things where my grandmother always brought me to the Town Fair. Everybody around remembers the Town Fair. You have the smell of the Town Fair, the steps, because it was a couple of stories in one shop. How the steps sounded in the town fair. So it has this like very warm memory for a lot of us. And the proprietors of the town fair were old and they retired and they left it to their daughter who ran it for a while, but it really wasn't what she wanted to do. So the town fair closed and it was a real loss for our city. And my mom and I had talked, every once in a while, we would say, "Oh, we would love to open a children's shop, but we can't compete with the town fair, of course. We wouldn't want to take business from them." And so that was years and years ago. And then the town fair closed, and I really was looking for a change and trying to figure out my path after education. And I said, we were sitting on Warren Street at one of our favorite restaurants that is no longer called Earth Foods. And my husband and I would go there pretty much every weekend, and in the nice weather we'd sit outside, and I noticed this trend of a lot of younger families. Hudson has a very interesting past, and a lot of it is very quickly changing. And so I'm talking maybe 12 years ago, even, there was really nobody walking around like you see today. And so we would go to this restaurant every weekend, and we would notice there's a trend of more people walking around. And of course, we knew most of the people. And then we would see new families that we didn't recognize, and lots of baby carriages. And I said, now's the time. The town fair is closed, and I need a change. And if I don't do it, somebody's going to do it. And at that time, there was really not a huge internet shopping phenomenon like there is in 2019. And so it was just kind of starting, you know, there was that. But it was also very hard for me to go and buy a gift for someone that was organic or, you know, environmentally friendly or educationally sound, and not really great toys, because we have a Walmart out in Greenport, but there weren't really any options. And so I said, you know, this is our chance to do something different that a lot of people that we know would appreciate. And the town fair isn't here anymore, and that's what's missing in our town. There's so many baby carriages and new families. And so we were seeing this trend of younger families walking around, and thought it was our opportunity to go for it. And we really did want to offer something that was, you know, natural parenting and healthy for the child, the parents, and the environment. And that was what our niche would be. And so that's how we started. We saw a need. We wanted to fill it. We gave it a go. And now it's been about 8.5 years.
Now, you touched upon it a little bit as you were describing your motivation to open this particular shop, about how you've seen the city of Hudson changed over the last 12 years particularly. And I was wondering if you can maybe expand a little bit on that.
Sure. Well, obviously, having grown up here, it's been a 42-year observation. My grandmother grew up in Hudson, so that would be my dad's mom and my dad's mom's parents. So my great-grandparents also grew up here. So when I was young, my grandmother in particular would bring me to Hudson, but we could only go certain blocks, certain times a day, and that was it. I think my grandmother growing up here is a very interesting note, because I don't know a lot about her childhood. It's a little secretive in that the way she was raised was that you don't discuss a lot of things. I think that's pretty common of that generation, if they're not wonderful and great, you know. So I don't know exactly what her experience was as a child. She tells me all the, like, the really fun things, and a little bit when she was a little older, but not much about when she was really tiny. So we could only go pretty much on like the 500 block. We weren't allowed to go past 4th Street. And never after dark. So we were only allowed to come in during the day. And so we would come in to do shopping primarily, because back then you could go all the way to Albany or Hudson. That was, you know, Hudson is the biggest city around. And so my mom's family too, living out in another part of the county, in the Copaic, Hillsdale, Harlemville, Philmont area, they too would come into Hudson to do shopping as well. And so I would sometimes come with my mom's side of the family as well. So we would definitely always get our shoes here, do some clothing shopping. So that was my, you know, smallest child memory. And then as I grew, I think we just would come less and less, because there was less and less here. There were no stores that were actually open. A lot of the storefronts had been shut down. There was a lot of crime. There was a lot of drugs. And it really seemed to become a very dangerous city to be in. Particularly, you wouldn't want your teenager hanging out here. And that, of course, slowly changed. So then when I was like in late middle school, high school time, there was an influx of people that would come, and they started buying the buildings because they were really inexpensive and they could afford to buy them and renovate them and save them, which this city desperately needed at that point in the late 80s and early 90s when all of our buildings were abandoned and falling down. And they're beautiful and they're remarkable and they're worthy of saving. And so there was an influx of people from New York City that would come. And at that time, it was mostly designers and antique dealers where they could warehouse their wares and still sell, and people could get here on the train. And one of the remarkable things about Hudson is that we have an Amtrak station here down by the river. And so Amtrak is a 2-hour ride from the city, from Penn Station to Hudson. And that's remarkable to me for a number of reasons. It's because as a child, I went to the city 2 times, and we were 2 hours from the city. But my parents were farmers, and that wasn't something they did as children with their parents. Their parents have never been to the city. And so being this close to an Amtrak station seems like so easy to get here from the city, and yet we never went to the city. So people took advantage of that. They had to, a direct route to have clients come up here and shop at their antique stores. And so I noticed then that there was a lot of antiques. It was very saturated with this industry. And it was strange as a teenager because that was not desirable to me. It was interesting as a teenager because there were the best, like, random junk shops that I guess were also antique, but not like what we have now, which is high-end antique. It was just a treasure trove. You would go in and you never knew what you were going to find. And so that was really fun. So again, this is like high school. We would definitely hop into a few of those stores. And then I went away to college, and I think it really took off because when I came back from college, I realized there was a lot of more intentional business happening here. So that was the early to late 90s. And it was really kind of slow but purposeful. Restaurants started to open. There became a little bit of variety. And I think once there were a few great cafes, that's when I would start coming back. There were always the weird little shops that I would come to. But I was always warned by my grandmother in particular, who grew up here, you don't go into town, right? Not after dark, right? You don't go past 4th Street, right? And, oh, yes, Grandma, no, of course not. No, we don't. But of course we were, because it wasn't like that anymore, And so it has slowly changed up until recently, when it has changed dramatically very quickly. And I would say that started, certainly within the last 10 years, maybe even the last handful of years is really, it's just sped up so fast. And that's a very interesting thing to see from, I can't go past 4th Street after dark to what it is now. And it's lovely, but it's also interesting to, be a part of that too.
So what is it like now?
Now, there's great diversity in the actual retail area, so Warren Street. Outside of that one street, north and south of Warren Street, it stayed very much the same. North of Warren Street is where the not nice houses were built. It's where, if you read the history of Hudson, it's where there wasn't much attention put into it. And then south of Warren Street, there are extraordinary houses and mansions and a lot of wealth. So it's still a very divided city economically. And that has always been, those houses have always been like that. You know, the fires happened on the north side. Oh, I'll let that one burn. Fires happen on the south side. Oh, we better save that house. So there still is, I think, this diversity in that way. I don't recognize many people anymore. Hudson has been found, you know, people found it, and they think that writing certain things about Hudson will be wonderful and draw attention to the city, which it has. But it's very interesting where those articles are published. You can see a direct correlation in the visitors and the people that have moved here. And it's odd to walk down the street and not know a single person. It's strange. I'm happy that people love it and are loving things about it. But it's sad because it's pushed a lot of people out that can't afford to be here anymore. People can't work and live here. There's not much affordable housing. There's not much long-term rentals. Everything has become very short-term weekend rentals. There are hundreds, or not hundreds, but probably 100 plus short-term Airbnb rentals. I drive down Union Street, which is one street south of the main street, and those are all homes. You drive down, you know, on a Wednesday night and not one light is on anymore. You drive down on a Saturday night and every single house is lit up. So there's an influx of just weekend tourism. And then also, and this part has been happening since the late 80s, I think, is second homes. So a lot of people will come here and have it as a weekend home. And I know most of those people, you know, because they've become locals too, you know, and so I do know them. But it's very odd to not know most of the people who are staying in that house and displacing families to move elsewhere. And I think our house prices have reflected that. Most of the people that have grown up here cannot live here, do not find jobs here that will sustain a rent or a mortgage. We bought our home 15 years ago, and we're very lucky because I think if we hadn't, God knows where we would be living. Just because, as somebody told me, "Oh, you guys are giving houses away up here." Which my response was, well, that's all relative because 90% of the people I know can't afford that. But this gentleman was from New York City, and, you know, $350,000 for a house was nothing. That's nothing to them. So everything has inflated and escalated, and a lot has been written about Hudson. There's a lot of attention on Hudson. About how great it is, and it's this quirky little city, and, you know, it is all that stuff, but it's slowly becoming not. It's slowly becoming, as other people say, it's like the upstate Brooklyn or the Hamptons, or, you know, and that breaks my heart a little bit, for sure.
So, you are embedded in some communities you just talked about, and can you maybe elaborate a little bit on what those communities mean to you?
Oh, yeah, sure. I, of course, have a really great core of people that I've grown up with that are still here, and now we all have children, and this... is really important, of course, to be around people that I've known for so long that know me and I know them, and we have similar ways about us, you know, and it's not questioned, you know, there's not really a question. We tend to be very direct people. We don't fuss around, and if you just say things very directly, and sometimes if you are raised a different way, it might come across in not the way that you're it's meant to be. So I think that it's really nice to be around people that get you. So I have that community, and it's also wonderful to see their children and to know their parents and their, you know, everybody. It's like that around here. We just, people like that. It's a small town, small community thing, but it's also that you really do know everything about everyone, which I really like because they're my family too, you know? And my daughter is accepted no matter what, you know, as quirky as she is. And then I have a very tight-knit teacher community where I taught. Where, like today, I just went out to lunch with one of my co-teachers because that was such a huge part of my life and I miss them. And so I get to have that community as well still. I get to catch up on them and everything that's happening down where I taught in Red Hook in Dutchess County. And then I have a pretty wonderful community at Hawthorne Valley, which is where my husband went to school. Hawthorne Valley is a kindergarten through 12th grade Waldorf school in Ghent. It is also a farm, and it is a very small school. So having married my husband who went there, you become part of that family as well. And our daughter will be going there come September, and she'll be in grade one. And so we know through her preschool and kindergarten, which is also out in that area of the county, many, many, many of those families, either that my husband went to school with and now have children, or are new families in my, you know, in my world. And so that is really wonderful community, super supportive, truly a community driven school and farm. And I do feel really lucky to be a part of that community. And then through the store, I have an enormous community because I have just met thousands of people. And I really like people, and I like knowing why they're here, and are you visiting for a wedding, or did you just move here? Or, you know, I think a lot of people will come here in and walk around when they move to the area and find the kids store if they have a young little ones at home, and we just start talking, and some of my best friends now are just because they came in my shop. And that's a really huge community for me, are the families that I've met through the store. And then I have a community of local business people. Hudson has a lot of women who own their businesses. I'm honored to be one of them. These women are fierce. They are amazing entrepreneurs, artists. I mean, it runs the gamut of what they do and how they do it. And, it's a wonderful community to be a part of. I'm very proud to have had a shop here and to be a woman entrepreneur in Hudson, and, to be included with these other business owners and women. And then I have my family too, of course, who all are here. As I said, I'm a fifth generation resident of this county, so my entire family is pretty much here. My sister did jump across the river, which I will never understand why, to Greene County, but so she's pretty close by. But my husband grew up here too, so his mom is still in the area. So we have that community too, and we have a very small family, but we're all right here, so it is really lovely. I'm probably forgetting some communities, but I'm a pretty lucky lady to have so many.
Can you tell me about an important relationship that you have?
Oh, well, I do have many. My mom, of course, is beyond amazing. She's super strong. She grew up in Copake, which is super rural. So she had no neighbors, when she would go to school, she had friends her own age. Her brother is 10 years younger than her. So she just kind of grew up as an only child. Very poor. And she went to school. Her parents said, you can go to college and you can be a nurse or a teacher. Because, you know, in the 60s, those were your choices as a woman. And so she went to nursing school. And, of course, she was at the top of her class and amazing. And she's an exceptional person. As I said before, she always encouraged me to do whatever I wanted. And I do think that was because she had two choices, teaching or nursing. Except she would always say, you can do anything you want except nursing. And I don't know why. And she just has, you know, wholeheartedly supported me in every crazy endeavor that I've had. She's loved by everyone here in town, and she works at the shop for me, and she watches my daughter, and I don't go a day without someone telling me how much they love my mom. Your mom is great. Like, I know. I know, I'm so lucky, and I really, really am lucky. But she's just so encouraging and accepting. She's shown me, like, no prejudice in life. You are just kind, and you love, and you accept people for who they are. And I guess she never really had to tell me that, because I just learned through watching her and my father. And she's just... She also has no idea, which is also very interesting, because she just doubts herself in every way, and thinks, oh, well, why do she would say, people like me? I'm like, oh my goodness, mom. I'm like, yes, of course. So it's interesting to see, because she doesn't recognize that in herself, but, you know, we try and tell her all the time that she's amazing. So she certainly is tops of the list as far as an important relationship. I'm also very lucky to have an amazing husband who's brilliant and funny and accepting and open and non-judgmental and supportive. I mean, he's also an amazing person and has taught me so much in life and taught me about myself. And so I'm a super lucky person to be surrounded by these amazing people. Because it takes a community, and I hope I can be that for them as well, to be who we are, be the best people we are, and to grow and to come to these different places in life. And they have both, and there are more people, certainly, that have helped me get here, and helped me realize, like, you know, who I am too, you know. Yes.
What of these things that you've learned are you bringing into the life of your daughter?
Oh, golly. Well, of course that's the goal. Yeah, so being a teacher, it's interesting to be a mom because I know a lot about how children work. And how children learn in particular. And so I realized very quickly that being a parent obviously is a very different role than I've ever had with children. But from, you know, in utero, when I didn't know if it was a girl or a boy, I instilled in this being strength to be who you are and to be kind and to be just all those things that I described my mom doing for me. I recognized instantly as what I wanted to do for my child, and to let her just be her. You know, I don't have any expectations for her, really. I just want her to be happy in who she is and to be strong in who she is and to express herself the way she wants to, and to do it in a very kind, accepting way, without any judgment or prejudice, and just, you know, being a good human, and standing up for herself and verbalizing for herself, which she's a very, very, very quiet young lady. So I think that will come. It is a great wish of mine for her. Because I think my mom let us have a voice in a respectful way. I think it's hard, you know, because children test you in all ways and become sassy and can be disrespectful even though they're not trying to be. And so as we grow and she grows, we, you know, remind her of those things, but truly we just want her to do what she's drawn to do. And I'm curious about her. She's a very curious young lady. I think it's because I've known so many children that, of course, her being like mine is very different, but also I've just never known someone like her. This little, I've known some adults like her, but not a little person. And so I'm curious what her life will be like, and I'm super excited to find out, along with her. But, certainly, my childhood was a great example of how to parent. And then my mother's parenting of me still is, a really good example too. You know, she guides me in ways and lets me be in other ways. And I hope I can be like that for Inez.
Now, I'd like to go back to little moment that you just previously described that I was very interested in. You mentioned that you are a very proud Colombia girl.
Yeah.
And that you, as a young girl, your parents only took you to the city twice.
Mm-hmm.
Can you take me back to the first time that you remember that you were a city?
Yeah, so I was old. I was probably 13-ish, so I definitely remember it. We had friends who became friends of ours because they bought a house, a weekend home in Stuyvesant. Actually, can I? Yes.